You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everyone, to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. As we chat on this Monday night, it's been a fairly quiet day on the rumor mill, even though we're just over 4 days away from the opening of free agency on Friday night. Of course, the quiet day on the rumor mill has been by design because today was the first ever true NBA awards program. It was televised tonight on TNT. The Rockets, extremely visible in that. But because it was a day to really honor the players and coaches around the league, I think it's pretty clear that executives did not want to upstage that with any sort of major rumor to sort of steal the spotlight, especially if it involves a player in the show, which many of the rumors in the last week or so have. So I think it's a nice touch to essentially keep the market down today, let the players and fans get the notoriety, get the spotlight without having anything hanging over them about, so where are you going to go? There's this rumor that you're getting shipped to so-and-so. No, this day is about the players, about the coaches, about looking back rather than looking forward. So quiet day on the rumor mill, but again, that's by design. And I've said before, I'm not a big fan of the awards show being held in late June for this very reason, because especially after the draft, people are looking forward to the next season. They don't want to look back. In my ideal world, the awards show would actually be held between the regular season and the playoffs. Now, I know that's difficult because it's kind of hard to get everybody to Las Vegas or wherever you want to hold a ceremony because of how difficult it is to get everyone in a room when they're preparing for the playoffs. So I get that there are some logistical constraints there, but ideally you'd have it before the playoffs because historically what's made the NBA's MVP race and all the other races so meaningful is how in the playoffs they tie into the narrative. Think back to 95 and the Hakeem versus Robinson, and Hakeem not getting the MVP, but using that as fuel to essentially demolish David Robinson and the Spurs in a head-to-head setting. So to have it after the fact, I don't like it because it doesn't tie into the playoffs. And if you're going to do it, at least have it between the playoffs and the draft. Because after the draft, after we've had this new crop of players, a lot of trades, including Jimmy Butler to Minnesota, everyone looks forward. So it feels a little bit awkward. Like I said, I'd love to have it before the playoffs. Ideally, that's the solution. A kind of compromise could be before the draft. This isn't ideal. However, it is the talk of the NBA today. There are no rumors, and as I said leading off, the Rockets in particular are a team that was very, very visible in these awards, perhaps more so than any others. So rather than just spend this entire podcast whining about it, we do have some things to discuss. First things first, the awards. I think we all knew how the awards were going to go. There were no major shockers, especially as it pertains to the Rockets. Mike D'Antoni, Coach of the Year. Eric Gordon, Sixth Man of the Year, with Lou Williams as a finalist, and James Harden, MVP runner-up to Russell Westbrook. We'll touch on those in a minute, but I don't want to lead off with that because all of that was basically expected based on various polls that have been conducted since the end of the season. The one thing that we were not sure about was first-team all-defense. We know it was a big deal to Patrick Beverley. He's said it on multiple occasions that that was a goal of his. Actually got mocked for it by Russell Westbrook in the playoffs, but you know what? Pat Beverley gets the last laugh. Well, you can say gets the last laugh on Westbrook twice because, of course, he won the series, playing very well in it, and then he does get first-team all-defense, ironically, alongside Chris Paul in the starting backcourt. So if Pat Beverley's not back in Houston next season, it's probably because of the pursuit of Chris Paul. So in all likelihood, if the Rockets have their way, you'd be exchanging one for the other. But I do think it's well-deserved for Pat Beverley. He had a great year on the defensive side of the ball, and that was only magnified in the playoffs. I think he was a big part of setting a tone. His health, he missed the first 2.5 weeks of the season with the knee injury, but from then on out, he was relatively healthy, and having him out there every night was how the Rockets, despite their limitations, despite, for example, having an obvious negative in Ryan Anderson at the four spot defensively, not really having a proven rim protector, and even with those limitations, the Rockets were still a middle-of-the-pack defensive team, and that speaks to how good they were in the perimeter, specifically Pat Beverley and Trevor Ariza. So it's great to see Pat get honored. I was on the fence because a lot of times, even if you deserve it, the all defense teams are not necessarily geared towards truly rewarding man-to-man defense. Many times it's kind of what I call the stat whores that get at the, you know, the guys that are putting up big numbers with respect to steals, blocks, which sometimes have value, but other times can be very superficial. And sometimes a truly great man defender, which Pat Beverly is, can be lost in the shuffle. This time he got his due. He played almost an entire season, was solid pretty much throughout. He set the tone for the Rockets, and of course that continued in the playoffs when he helped lead the Rockets to a 4-1 win over Russell Westbrook's Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. Of course, held Westbrook in particular 7 of 34 shooting when they were matched up one-on-one, and even though the playoffs, of course, do not correlate to this award directly since the voting was held before the playoffs, at the same time, it does show you the type of value that he has, and this was a very, very well deserved award for Pat, and I couldn't be happier for him. He clearly wanted it, and thanks to the NBA voters around the league, the media, he got it. So good for him. Other awards, of course, we've discussed before, but Mike D'Antoni, Coach of the Year, Eric Gordon, Sixth Man of the Year, both of those very much deserved. I think Mike D'Antoni, I think that one speaks more than anything, because Coach of the Year, that speaks to an overall leadership culture, and I know the season ended on a kind of subpar note for Rockets fans based on Game 5 and especially Game 6 against San Antonio, but when you look at the bigger picture of where they were last year, 41-41, what the perception of this franchise was entering this season, and then you look at where they finished, 55 wins, not just the third seed in the West, but the third best record in the entire NBA, that speaks to the system put in place by Mike D'Antoni. He absolutely earned this, and it's helping Houston, not just this past season, but be positioned very well this summer as a destination franchise, and I'll get to that in a minute. Before we do, though, I do want to, of course, touch on the MVP race and James Harden, as expected, finishing second to Russell Westbrook. I'm not going to go on at length about the decision. If you want to hear why I think that's a travesty and why James deserved the award, I had several podcasts in early April touching on that. We all knew this was coming, and if you want to hear specifically why I think James deserved this award and why it's sad that he's not going to get it, you can look back then. First couple of weeks of April and then leading into the playoff series between these two teams. And of course, even after the playoff series, when Harden's Rockets dispatched Westbrook's Thunder 4-1 in the first round. We've said all of that before Westbrook got the award, Harden second. It is what it is. And the one thing I'll touch on, I don't think this is a negative towards James Harden at all. And that's the one narrative I've seen on Twitter that I really want to push back against. It's not that voters have a bias against James Harden. It's that they had a bias for Russell Westbrook. And we can say it's superficial, the averaging a triple-double, because, of course, those are arbitrary numbers. We can point out that, essentially, the Thunder underachieving and letting Westbrook basically play the hero, his heroics in the last 2 minutes of close games, largely against teams that Oklahoma City should have been in a better position against anyway. We can argue against that all day, but that's what won Russell Westbrook the award. It wasn't someone looking to get James Harden. It's because he did these crazy things that no one had seen before. And even so, of course, there are so many arbitrary cutoffs in this. And yeah, if you're a Rockets fan, it's fine to feel a little cheated. It's fine to feel like this wasn't fair. I get all of that. But it's not against James Harden. When you were voted runner-up in the entire NBA out of so many hundreds of players, James Harden's finished second. The second time in 3 years he has finished second. You're not being overlooked. You have tremendous respect. And to see Harden in the final three to get him that kind of visibility on the national stage, hell yeah, that means a heck of a lot. The awarding of the MVP to Russell Westbrook is not a negative on James Harden. That's what I want to put out there with this podcast. It's about Russell Westbrook. It's not about James. All in all, this is still a pretty big step for James. It's great for his visibility around the league, et cetera, et cetera. Now, last year, when he did not even make any of the three All-NBA teams, essentially saying he's not one of the top 15 players in the game, despite averaging, what, 29, 7, and 6, That, you can say, was a little personal. Not even having in the top 15, that was ridiculous. The Rockets, and of course you can see it in some of the shots that Daryl Morey has taken on Twitter, they did take that personally. That was ridiculous. But when you finish second in the MVP voting, as he's now done 2 times in 3 years, that's not a shot against James Harden. You can say there's a bias, but the bias is pro-Russell Westbrook. It's not anti-James. James got a lot of respect for the season he had this year, just like he did 2 years ago. Now, again, this is 2 times in 3 years when he's been seen by the national NBA media as one of the 2 most valuable players on the planet. So I'm not going to look at the negative. I'm going to say, you know what, you combine a player that's the 2nd most valuable in the world, according to the voting, 2nd time in 3 years, with the coach of the year, 6th man of the year, a first-team all-defense, it's a great night for the Rockets, even if they didn't take home the biggest trophy. Now, with that said, there is one narrative that I think is being a little too positive that I've seen on Twitter, and that's the idea that some of these awards are going to boost the Rockets' trade prospects moving forward. I don't think Eric Gordon winning 6th Man of the Year or Patrick Beverley winning first-team all-defense, I don't think it appreciably changes their stock around the league about what other front offices are going to think of them. These awards, they're a big deal for players and fans. For players, they're a big deal because, of course, the visibility, especially now with the TV broadcast, and a lot of them actually have bonus schemes that are tied into it. They get more money for these various awards because, really, the MVP race, the 6th Man of the Year, any of these awards you want to throw out there, the media voting is probably the most fair barometer. There are other barometers that very progressive front offices, especially here in Houston, use, but you're probably not going to be able to find a grants in them to put them into a contract. So all these players, they actually have bonus schemes and get paid a little bit more money based on this. And of course, to fans, it's a big deal because it's something they can share it on social media. They see it on TV. It's great for the overall marketing of the franchise. So the Rockets are absolutely thrilled with this because, of course, they can use this as a selling point, not just in free agency, but to advertise, etc., etc. So yeah, it is a big deal, but it's not a big deal in that you're going to have GMs around the league saying, wow, this player is better than I thought. No, most of the front offices, maybe the one exception to the New York Knicks, but with the exception of that, most front offices these days are very, very good, very, very progressive, and their level of detail, their scouting, goes beyond what most of us can even imagine. So the idea that, well, a few media people said this, that that's going to somehow change the value of these guys, I think that's a little too much. I think Pat Beverley and Eric Gordon are desirable pieces on the trade market, but they were desirable before and they're desirable after. Them winning these awards is not necessarily going to change how they are seen around the league in the eyes of the GMs. Now, it's great for the marketing, and a lot of franchises would be glad to have them and say, hey, we've got this guy, we can put on a press release that he won first team all defense or 6th Man of the Year, blah, blah, blah. But GMs, the actual basketball executives making these decisions, over 90% of them these days in the NBA, they are very intelligent, and they're going to trust their own scouting reports, their own models, rather than just this arbitrary panel of national NBA media personnel. I don't think it's going to change. So I think that's a little bit too wishful thinking. However, these awards can potentially help the Rockets as a destination franchise in free agency. That's the positive spin that I will buy. Because when players make their decisions, we've seen the narratives before, but they take hold. We saw what happened last summer when the Rockets had to essentially go down to Plan C. They didn't get a meeting with Durant. Al Horford and Kent Bazemore told them no. Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon were essentially Plan C, and we know what the narratives were. In addition to the Rockets being 41-41, a disappointment, there were questions about the culture. Well, if you want to sell culture, you can't say much more than having the coach of the year get rewarded on that stage. You want to sell defense? Well, you've got a guy first-team all-defense, and if Pat Beverley leaves, about the only reason why he'd be leaving is because the odds look pretty good that you can get Chris Paul, another guy who was first-team all-defense. So the culture is better. The commitment to defense is better. If there were any questions about how seriously James Harden took the game, well, in a year, he went from not being on an All-NBA team to being runner-up in MVP voting 2nd time in 3 years and the only unanimous All-NBA first team, the only unanimous All-NBA first team selection in the entire league. So, yeah, this is great. And then you look at the bench. As is right now, the Rockets have 2 of the best 3 6-men in the league in Eric Gordon and Lou Williams. So if you're adding on to what they have now, that 55-win team, that's great. That speaks to the depth that they have. And if not, then if you're looking to trade these guys like Eric and Lou, then it speaks to the value that they probably have on the open market. So any way you spin it, these awards are big for the perception of the Rockets. And then to look at the marketing angle, that does matter for players, because where this really ties in is in terms of advertising value, because a franchise that has this many award winners, and then as an individual for players, first team all defense, sixth man of the year, coach of the year, these types of things, there's marketing value in that, not just for them individually, but for the team as a whole to say, hey, this is the type of franchise we are. These are the type of players that we have or did have this past season. And so that has a marketing effect all over the place. And so, yes, it absolutely can tie into just how desirable the Rockets potentially are in free agency for some of these players. I agree that it's all a little bit superficial. I've said before, I'm not the biggest fan of the media panel. I actually think the players' awards should be seen as just as significant, if not more so, because the players have time in the film room and, in my opinion, look at these through a different prism, but one that's every bit as valuable, if not more so, than the media. I'm not sitting here saying that the media saying this is the ultimate arbiter. That's why I don't think it really affects the trade value directly. I don't think Kevin Pritchard in Indiana in a Paul George deal or anyone else is going to see Eric Gordon, Pat Beverly, anyone else as more valuable based on these awards. However, the superficial stuff, yes, I'll call it superficial because I've stated my problems with the panel before, and I think that's part of how they were so easily moved in the last couple weeks of the year, even though James Harden led the MVP race for most of it, to end up giving it to Westbrook. It is a little superficial. However, that superficial stuff, those narratives, that does play into the desirability of a franchise on July 1st, on July 2nd, on those all-important days. The Rockets, they're a good franchise, but they're not the LA Lakers, the Miami Heat. They're not one of these franchises that's always going to get the benefit of the doubt and can always be in the door, no matter what. They can get there because they've had success before, but they need a little bit of positive momentum, because if not, you could paint these other teams as having more upward mobility. Well, the Rockets, as much as any team, perhaps more, were highly, highly visible on that stage Monday night. Is it dramatically going to change their perceptions of franchise? I don't think so, because I think it was already good. However, can it provide a little boost as we head to July? Absolutely. And at this point, with the Rockets' plans as big as they are, we'll take any boost that we can get. So, with that said, I will wrap up this post-awards episode of Locked On Rockets. Once again, congratulations to all the award winners from the Rockets. Mike D'Antoni, Coach of the Year. Eric Gordon, Sixth Man of the Year. Lou Williams, Sixth Man of the Year finalist. James Harden, MVP runner-up. Pat Beverly, First Team All-Defense. Congratulations go out to all of those guys, and hopefully it only boosts their own presence moving forward as far as viable NBA players, not just, of course, in terms of their X's and O's ability, but in terms of their visibility, because their visibility, that stuff matters. That's what's going to get them more money. And of course, hopefully the Rockets seen as even more of a destination as they head towards this free agency and beyond. Now, as far as the upcoming free agency, we will turn back to that tomorrow. As I said, leading off, I think the rumor mill was artificially quiet on Monday because executives, journalists, everyone wanted the focus to be on the players. I'll even say the journalists because it's their program. I think there's another reason right there to put more emphasis on it, because of course journalists want this awards program to be seen as legitimate because it's their vote. So everyone kind of had a reason to make this, and we're still 4 days from free agency, about the players, give them their day in the spotlight. Well, now, starting tonight, and especially tomorrow, I would say, leading up to 11 p.m. Central Time on Friday night, which, of course, is midnight, July 1st on the East Coast, which is NBA time, the rumor mill will get cranking, and throughout the week, we will have you covered right here on Locked On Rockets. So if you want to stay tuned for that, if you're not already following us on Twitter, please do. The show is at Locked On Rockets. Me personally, I'm at Ben Dubose. Also, email us, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program. So for now, I hope all of you have a good night. Get some rest, because the rest of the week, it's going to be very, very busy. So enjoy your evenings, and I'll be back with you tomorrow to talk a little bit more Rockets free agency rumor mill, now inside of 4 days until the opening on Friday night.